Well, greetings, everyone. It's a beautiful, wonderful Sabbath day. And it's a beautiful, wonderful Sabbath day because it is the Sabbath. And as I was going through my notes, and I'll have to check the camera here to make sure I keep it right, I want to show you something. As I was going through the sermonette last night, I was timing myself of how far I could go. I got to about 12 minutes. Running the timer down from 15 to 12, not from 0 to 12. About 12 minutes, I started wandering. Well, I didn't wander. I just took right off, had another subject that I was going on from the sermonette. That didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. I lost count how many times that happened. So, brethren, it's time to break out the knives. We come here together on a Sabbath day for iron to sharpen iron. And as we sit here and we sharpen iron together, we wonder what God's Holy Spirit is doing. How's God's Holy Spirit working in us? How does God do this? How does God sharpen things? Iron sharpens iron. Talking through this process, how does God keep track of everything? Now, as the world gets going and the pace picks up, iron's got to sharpen iron a little faster, brethren. And here we are today. Mr. Armstrong has gave us the restored truth. Iron is sharpening iron. Things are getting faster out there, brethren. And if I go any faster, I'm likely to cut off my arm. So let's put that down. That comes with a warning. Don't do this at home if you've never done it before. But brethren, we're here because iron sharpens iron on the Sabbath day. There's no greater thing that we could be doing. As I draw the knife down back and forth, I'm sharpening that blade. You have the word of Jesus Christ in you, with you, 100% of the time. You need to figure that out. I can't tell you that. I can show you from the Bible what I see. What God wants us to see. And by sharpening iron with one another, we'll get through to the next phase. And I'm not even close to my notes. The temple of God, and we'll have some pictures to show during a sermon, so you can see that. The foundation, the first story, it goes up. The second story is wider than the first. That's how God thinks. That's not how we think. When we build a house, we have one story, next story, next story, and then we put a roof on it. We don't build out from it. God builds from the ground up. So the first thing we need to learn is we don't speak and we don't talk, we don't learn like God because we have a fleshly body. It's impossible for the spirit to be in us nonstop because we prevent that. But God prevented that for us. We have to recognize the things that God gave us to protect ourselves. It's not a sin to know that. An example. I was out for a walk yesterday. I see the horses. They're telling me that my dog had got through the fence. They didn't try to jump the fence and tell me. They're looking at the dog. They're communicating with me. They're telling me where my dog is. But that's the only way they can communicate. If a cow sees a jet plane going in the sky, does it think it wants to get on the plane? Does it even know what's going on? When we look up there, we want to fly the plane. That's the God part. Let me ask this question. How many times during the week were you in the spirit? How many times during the week was it possible to be in the spirit? How many times during the week did you have to walk in faith? There's no place else to go. You're walking in faith You have to rely on Jesus Christ to bring you through, to provide you words. How many times did that happen during the week? How many times did God intervene in your life this week? I just unplugged something. I hope we're still going. I'm sure we are. But just in case. God has been involved in your life, and that doesn't mean that God is not with you during those times. But the Spirit is not revealing to you when your mind is going in sin, because your mind is flesh. Your mind is sin. Now, maybe you have this, and I'm just learning to realize that I understand what David's saying. I understand what Isaiah's saying. You understand that. I don't want to be without God's Spirit, but I can't have God's Spirit with me all the time. God says in Genesis 6:1, if you can go there. And for time permitting, you can turn there to 6:1. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now, we'll go some more into this some other time, but you have to study this. We can go one verse in here with what I'm thinking to say. What is God going to tell you when you read this? This is talking about the giants, so just go past that. Don't worry about that. There's a great explanation, and you've been taught that, and you proved that. But God says, I can't have my Spirit with you all the time. In verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them, wives of all of them they chose. And the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, we've understood that. We've not had a problem understanding what that means. But do we understand the full depth of it, the full simplicity of it? Because the simplicity of it is that by flesh, God's Spirit can't inhabit our bodies because it's sin. And the Spirit is made perfectly, and we can't even understand perfect. So we have to have God's Spirit and understand that if we don't have God's Spirit immediately communicating with us, that we're doing something we need to do better. In that fact, that we need to clear our mind in that instant. Because it can do it. Your mind can clear. You need words from God? Rely on that. Walk in faith. Because you'll have the words. God will give them. God says, well, after I get done with this part right here, in Genesis 6, you can take that any way you want, but you need to study this. If I'm talking about it, you need to study it. And that's only because you have to prove what somebody says if you don't see it. If God's Spirit can't be in the flesh at all the time, and there's another meaning behind this, is that you're only going to live for 120 years. At this example, we've lost 50 of those years. Because God, after he got through with this, was repenting of himself, of what had happened and what man had become. So we're starting the history of what happened and what God repented of himself, of his thought. And then I think we would describe that in the flesh as a broken heart. That God would have to think that his creation won't listen to him. And brethren, we're coming at a stage in time now where we have to let God's Spirit into our minds. Religion with God's Spirit has taken, they've thrown the Trinity so they can limit God. Well, who's they? That's Satan. We know that. But you have to understand you're in this war too. Now, in the critical commentary, the commentary, critical and explanatory on the whole Bible. That's what this is from. That is the title of this. And this goes back, Lord, to try to give the full here. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. This is the commentary. By the former is meant the family of Seth, who was professedly religious, by the latter, the descendants of apostate Cain. Mixed marriages between parties of opposite principles and practices were necessarily sources of extensive corruption. The women religious themselves would, as wives and mothers, exert an influential fatal to the existence of religion in their household, and consequently the people of that latter age sank to the lowest depravity. This is a commentary. You can take a look at commentaries. Understanding what's taking place in history, what was taking place in those days. And I think that's where it comes in here, where we have to be a little bit frank, that we have to read books. There's nothing wrong with reading a book of what happened when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth. What was going on with the language? People can take things out of context, and where we're moving now is so many people are going to be seeing that they have the truth. It's going to be here. It's going to be there. We've been warned about that. I'm just telling you it in plain language. You're going to have to be prepared with God's Spirit. And I'm going to give you an example. And we're thinking of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Brethren, that is us. And I did that this week. Sue and I did. We walked through the valley of the shadow of death. The church will play an important role. Prove it or not, I believe the church will have an important role. Mr. Armstrong restored the truth. We're responsible for the fruits, for the talents that Jesus Christ gave us. I can read from in the Bible that Jesus Christ said, what did you do with your talents? What did you do with yours? We have this, and there's a lot of problems going on. And the prophets saw this. And brethren, you're in the same college, comparably in history. Elijah formed a college, and they're called the prophets. Mr. Armstrong established a college. Well, wait a minute. Who established those colleges? That's what we call them today. Who established those? Who are you in this plan that God put together? Are you ready to be responsible for your talents? I've got 1 minute to go, and I really want to express this. I saw somebody this week that took the initiative, that's been taking the initiative, to study social media and find a way to make some money and take it out there and study what you're supposed to do. Brethren, I'm not telling that that's what everybody has to do, but I'm saying the Holy Spirit can move you. You're going to want it, just like David did. You know that. But the truth is going to grow. It's going to get bigger. We got a lot to learn. We got a lot to, and that doesn't mean because of mistakes. We have a lot to learn forward of what God wants to show us. We're going to put an iron to iron. We're going to put it on the steel. And sometimes, brethren, you don't necessarily have to go like this, okay? To really sharpen a blade, you just take that and you run that down. All the times that I have put this on the steel, and I still haven't sharpened it. When I run it down here, I take those rolls out, straight down. At the end, all I have to do is hone it. we've been hit here to put on the frosting on the cake, rather. It's time to take a scoop. Have a joyful Sabbath.